From 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR, this is Lake Effect. I'm Joy Powers. Today we're bringing you Lake Effect from inside Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee. We'll share what the first day of the convention looks like. We'll also hear from the Milwaukee Police Chief about how people will be kept safe this week.
I know that there is a lot of concern circling around RNC, but I want to remind your listeners and just our public that this is not new for us of dealing with large crowds, dealing with situations that have a number of different challenges.
Plus, we'll explain how this massive event is being paid for and why the city sees it as a worthwhile cost.
We're a blue city hosting a red event, but it also goes to show that we are here and we are open for business. And that includes hosting what will be the largest and most significant event in the world.
All of that is coming up on Lake Effect. But first, here are today's headlines. This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we're bringing you Lake Effect from inside Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee on the first day of the Republican National Convention. On today's show, we'll learn how this massive event is being paid for. We'll also look at safety and policing following the assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump, who arrived in Milwaukee yesterday. But first, I am joined by WUWM's Susan Bentz, who just came from a news conference with Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. Susan, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Joy.
So set the scene for us, Susan. What was the press conference like?
It was quiet out there. It was early. There were a few seagulls in the air and a few cars whizzing by on Water Street, but otherwise very quiet. There were about a dozen teams of journalists there waiting for the mayor, who emerged from City Hall. And he described the RNC, in its early hours at least, as really uneventful in a good way.
Now, I assume, given the events of last weekend, safety probably really dominated Mayor Johnson's comments.
Definitely. Throughout the conference, Johnson emphasized the fact that safety measures have actually been in motion for months in Milwaukee, that the RNC in Milwaukee is deemed a national special security event.
It is the highest designation that our federal government provides for an event of this caliber, of this magnitude. So I feel pretty confident in what we've worked to establish in terms of public safety for this event over the course of the last 18 months, working with the Secret Service, working with the FBI, working with the Milwaukee Police Department, Milwaukee Fire Department, other law enforcement agencies, not just here in southeastern Wisconsin, all across our state, and really all across the country, that are coming here to make sure that this is a safe event for everybody.
Now, as Mayor Johnson said, of course, this event and the security for this event has been in the works for months, although it does feel as though things might be a bit heightened due to what happened over the weekend. Now, Susan, the city has high hopes that the RNC is going to give Milwaukee's economy a lift.
That's absolutely right. He said during this press conference that he wants the RNC to not be an end, but a beginning of Milwaukee hosting big events with large numbers of people.
For anyone in and around downtown, you've seen some of these preparations up close. There's a lot that's going on behind the scenes as well. So yes, there will be some inconvenience for people who are traveling here, traveling to downtown Milwaukee, and that is inevitable in an event such as this. But I am here to report that businesses in downtown Milwaukee are open.
And of course, he wants people to frequent those businesses.
Yes.
He went on to say, Joy, that the mayor, that is, that he hopes that the police who are on duty, and will see plenty of police, but they'll seem invisible. And by that he means he doesn't want them to have to interfere in what he hopes people will be peacefully exercising their rights and allowing others to do the same.
I will point out, though, that while Democrats and Republicans differ substantially on how we get there, the fact of the matter is this, is that we all want people of this country to succeed. We want families in Milwaukee to have the opportunity to thrive. We want financial stability. We want peace. We want growth. We want health for citizens here across our state and across our country.
A lot of high hopes coming from Mayor Johnson. Let us hope that everything does go peacefully, that everything goes off without a hitch here in Milwaukee. Susan Bentz is a WUWM news reporter. Susan, thank you so much for being here.
Great to be with you.
$50,000 additional people are estimated to be in town right now for this event. There was a kickoff event for attendees yesterday at the Summerfest grounds called the Red, White, and Brew Welcome Party. Now, it wasn't open to the media, but WUWM's Eddie Morales spoke to visitors as they streamed into town. Eddie, thank you so much for joining me here in Panther Arena.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joy.
So tell us a bit about the event last night. What was it?
So last night, the event was really the start to the Republican National Convention's welcoming of guests. It was the kickoff party, and it was held at the Summerfest grounds. And really, what it looked like on the scene was, there were dozens of buses unloading people, volunteers greeting them, a handful of protesters across the street, trying to really get their message across about not having the RNC here and who they wanted to see as leadership when it comes to the Democratic side.
Now, following the shooting at candidate Trump's rally in Pennsylvania over the weekend, what was the general mood?
So the mood seemed, in general, very optimistic. People were interacting, jovial. They seemed really happy to be there. And then asking questions to guests specifically about the events that happened on Saturday, the assassination attempt on Trump, they did get a little bit more serious and discuss about how that really impacted the tone of not only what people anticipate for the convention, but really Trump supporters. One guest, his name was Bill Schuette, and what he had to say about the shooting was that it was a tragic event that really united the people at the event.
But I think the spirit that you're sensing here is one of resolute and resilient firmness and strength. And I think, again, it's the split screen of Donald Trump with his fist in the air, pledging to fight on, versus Joe Biden, who can't even get through a press conference.
And on his comment on that, regarding Biden, that was a similar sentiment that a protester shared regarding Biden's ability to stay in the race.
Some discussion about whether it would be better for Biden to drop out. How do you feel about that?
I'm torn because I do believe that Biden has been an excellent president. I think he has done a lot for America, and he stepped in when we needed him most. On the other hand, I do think that it could be time for him to pass on the torch. I think if there's anyone who has the strength of character to be able to do that in his position, it is probably Joe Biden.
Now, you spoke with some people who came from out of town for the convention. What were the general thoughts that you heard from them?
They were excited to be there. They were also excited to represent where they're from. For example, Bill Schuette is a state representative from Michigan, and he compared Wisconsin to Michigan and being a swing state and how important the vote is come the election this November.
In this big election year, why are you supporting Trump, and what kind of message do you have to anybody in a swing state who's on the fence?
Well, Michigan, much like Wisconsin, is a swing state. In fact, I think Michigan and Wisconsin probably are the two key swing states in the race to the presidency. And this is about the price of gas. This is about the price of groceries. This is about the cost of living, a crisis on our southern border. America, Michigan, Wisconsin was categorically better under the presidency of Donald Trump than under the failed, weak, feeble presidency of Joe Biden.
And in a similar way, there was a guest from Indiana. Her name was Sherlene Olson, and she's the vice chair at the National Federation of Republican Women Armed Services and also a retired U.S. Army Master Sergeant. And she had a message that she said she hopes others take from Trump's candidacy.
Don't focus on the flaws. Focus on the leadership, because at the end of the day, when I was in the military, there were leaders that I didn't want to work with. But guess what? We didn't focus on that. We focused on the principle, and we focused on the leadership behind that person, because there is no specific person that is going to be golden.
So expressing some kind of mixed feelings, it seems like, about the candidate. In general, What did people say about why they're here to support specifically candidate Trump?
Yeah, going back to Bill Schuette, he mentioned very specific things about Biden's presidency that he was dissatisfied with and things that he would like to see back with, you know, hoping that Trump would win a second term here. He was happy to represent, again, his state and really make those points about what he hopes to see from the convention, specifically looking forward to these things coming out of the convention.
I think the roll call is always a special convention moment. I'm also looking forward to finding out who our vice presidential nominee is.
All right. Now, you spoke with some people outside of the event, as you mentioned. They do not support candidate Trump. What did they have to say about why they were there?
The general message from attendees was that they were there to really show their support for obviously the Republican Party and being here for the RNC for the 4-day event. Attend these daily events that are going on inside of the perimeter here and try to spread the message of what they're dissatisfied with and what they hope to see with different leadership.
Now, following this weekend, there has been a lot of anger directed toward the media in general. How were you received by the people you spoke with?
Generally received really well. There were some people who didn't want to speak, but others who seemed very eager, and I think in my experience a little bit more so than in other instances of asking, people from the Republican Party for interviews, that they were very eager to talk, eager to share their opinion, their excitement for the event, what they believe in this election year, and also, their thoughts on the events that happened on Saturday. I think a lot of people feel very strongly about that assassination attempt, and they really do feel like that brought people together and that made their cause stronger.
Sure. Eddie Morales is a WUWM reporter. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you.
Milwaukee, here I come from Nashville, Tennessee. Milwaukee is where we were before we came here.
In about 10 minutes, we'll hear from the Milwaukee Police Chief on how they're planning to keep both visitors and Milwaukee residents safe this week.
We just want everyone to be respectful, to, so to speak, stay in your lane and, don't destroy anything and don't hurt anybody.
But first, a local restaurant owner and a member of the RNC host committee joins us to share why he wanted to bring this event to town. That's coming up next on Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers in the Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee. Now, it took a lot of planning to get the Republican National Convention to the city, and Omar Sheck is one of the people who made it all happen. Sheck is a local restaurateur and a member of the RNC host committee, and he is joining us now. Omar, thank you so much for being here.
It's nice to finally be here.
There has been, of course, a lot of speculation about what the RNC will bring to Milwaukee now that it is finally here. What are you seeing so far?
Well, last night we had a party called the Red, White, and Brew. So I think three or four of us were chair of it and formed a local committee to help with the planning and whatnot. And so it was just a great, great party. I think it set the tone for the week. I think everybody was happy to be there. The only complaint was it was hot and humid, but there's nothing can be done about that. But it was an incredible party. Great food, great drinks, and everybody really felt welcome. And I think that we're going into a really good week here.
Now, has anything changed in light of the shooting at Donald Trump's rally in Pennsylvania over the weekend? Has anything changed about the event?
I heard there was some increased security, but it seemed like there was so much security to begin with. So I don't know, to be frank with you, but I think it seemed like there were some things that were rerouted, but the checkpoints seemed to be in place.
Yeah, can you describe what the checkpoints have been like? Of course, we all here have gone through them so far, but what are the kind of security measures that are being taken right now?
Yeah, I mean, you come up, today's the first day, so I think the first day always takes a little bit longer than expected, and I think obviously with what happened, they have a little bit of increased security, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just when you get there, I would recommend that you probably don't have as much as, at least amount of things as you can in your car. They have your windows rolled down, they have your trunks opened, and they do a search, kind of a search through, and it's really, it should be getting better from tomorrow on, really.
Sure. Right now the lines are pretty long, at least the ones that we saw. Now, of course, the violent attack at Trump's rally over the weekend has been part of a larger escalation of politically motivated violence and violent rhetoric, often coming from the candidate Trump himself. Now, the connections between the Republican Party and some far-right groups has concerned a lot of Milwaukeeans leading up to the convention. And the rhetoric, honestly, has only become more violent in light of what happened at the rally. What are your thoughts for Milwaukeeans who are really fearing for their safety right now?
I think it's going to be good. I think, you know, there's been a year, over a year, year and a half of planning here. And so I remember the Secret Service coming in between the FBI and law enforcement. Remember, they won the $75 million grant to the city. And so I think there's going to be close to 4,000 to 5,000 officers. And if you come down here, they're crawling all over the place. And it just seems like a little bit of quiet before the storm right now. But there's no indication to me in what I'm seeing any form of, you know, violence or rioters yet, but I feel pretty good about it, and certainly cautiously optimistic, but I feel pretty good about everyone being safe down here.
Now, of course, speaking of speculation, there has been quite a bit of speculation about the economic impact of the convention. Some businesses are saying that they're profiting quite a bit. Others are actually expecting to lose income during the convention due to some restrictions. I'm thinking specifically the Pabst Theater Group has spoken about this. You're a business owner yourself. How has the convention impacted your businesses so far?
Yeah, you know, we're doing okay. And I didn't know what to expect. I've never been to a convention. Obviously, when you're part of the planning and all and working with several different parties, you really don't know what to happen until it's here, right? You know, are we crazy reservations at Carnivore or crazy parties? No. But there's going to be 50,000 people in town. So I feel that we're going to fill up and the phone will start ringing. The food hall has some parties as well. So I feel overall really good about it. And I really hope that a lot of these restaurants fill up with all these people being in town. It's really hard to expect before it all happens, right? And so I'm pretty optimistic and I really hope that these restaurants do really well because that's kind of the whole point of this. But again, when we went out and we fought for this to happen and to host this convention here, right, there's so many variables. You don't know who the candidate's going to be. You don't know, you know, really what these all are about. But it would be crazy not to go out and fight for the conventions like this because this really sets us up for the future, right? And so it shows that we can handle large-scale conventions, but it brings 15,000 cameras onto our city. And so what that does is it helps us go out and find, try to win larger-scale conventions in the future. And you're seeing that happen because of this.
You know, speaking of the future, once the dust settles, what are you hoping the impact is going to be here in Milwaukee? What do you hope the next year looks like, the next 5 years looks like in the city because of this convention?
Well, I can already tell you that, I mean, we're in 2019, that was pretty, you know, higher levels of conventions. But if you take out the RNC room nights, now that we just finished the convention center, we're back to 2018 levels, taking out the room nights. And if you look at the trajectory of conventions over the next 10 years, it's really on the increase every year. So I'm very optimistic. We're going to bring a lot of tourists and visitors coming in here to pay for our infrastructure. But the greater thing for me is tourism, right? People, you see all these eyeballs on the city and people come here and experience it and love it. Maybe they want to move here. And that's really what the ultimate goal is.
Now, as we're looking forward to the next 3 days, I guess kind of 4 days, it's right at the top of Monday. What are you looking forward to the most during this convention?
For me personally, meeting so many people. I mean, you know, it's like I try to greet everyone that comes into the city. Just from my standpoint, from my places, I've already met and worked with some incredible people throughout all this. And so that's exciting for me, just having people come from around the world and around the country to come see our city.
All right. Omar Sheikh is a Milwaukee area restaurateur and a member of the RNC host committee. Omar, thank you so much for being here with us.
It was good to be here. Thank you.
We got this. That's what Milwaukee Police Chief Jeff Norman said yesterday about security. Many city agencies have been planning for the RNC for months, but some of the most involved planning has been for safety, security, and policing. Those efforts have been bolstered after the assassination attempt on former President Trump. A large protest is planned for today, and speeches from groups with opposing political views are planned throughout the week. That's why the Milwaukee Police Department has been trained for monitoring crowds and responding to any contentious situations that might arise. WUWM's Eddie Morales speaks with Milwaukee Police Chief Jeff Norman about how law enforcement has been prepared for this week.
What are some of the challenges to police services during an event of this magnitude related to crowd control, traffic control, potential protests, etc.?
So there's a lot of moving parts. Obviously, you can plan for everything, but everything does not happen according to plan. We need to make sure that we are not only communicative with all the different needs and challenges, but also being able to be nimble and, you know, be able to move on a pinpoint in regards to if there's things that pop up that we have the resources to respond to it or to be able to handle that challenge.
And you mentioned like being fluid. Does that include officers potentially like stopping traffic to allow marchers to march? How does that work with being fluid in those kinds of situations?
So what works in those situations is understanding what the needs and what are going to be the responses and resources. It's hard to say what's going to be the actual activity without knowing what is the actual activity that's being done. I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to try to see like this is what we do. What we're going to do is communicate. And we're going to understand, you know, what is going to be the desires, what are going to be the needs, but also, and most importantly, what are going to be the actions. And then we can go from there.
Some people who responded to WUWM's RNC survey said that they're concerned about their safety with so many people downtown and with the possibility of extremists who may demonstrate or spend time around the RNC to get attention. What are you telling people who have those concerns, and how is the MPD planning to keep people safe?
So, understandable in regards to the concerns. I believe that we should always be aware of all particular challenges or issues. We have a great cooperation from the federal level, state level. We have individuals looking out for those particular type of concerns or, you know, potential threats. We really take the safety of the RNC, but also, again, the entire city seriously. We are really leaning into the plans and the resources. As I always say, you can't plan for everything, but we really got some really great working relationships, great teamwork going on, and that we are going to do everything in our power to ensure that we have safety for our city.
There's also the potential for clashes among groups who have different perspectives, for example, at the speakers' platforms. People have signed up for slots to speak in those official protest zones. So what are some precautions that the MPD might be taking there?
So it's important to understand that the resources that we do have already take that in consideration about different voices. And we understand the importance to allow both sides to be able to express their different voices. There has always been the, you know, understanding, especially coming out of my mouth, you know, I'm not going to accept property destruction or physical harm to people. That is not going to be acceptable. And the resources that we do have understand how to navigate those particular type of challenges. We're utilizing, again, more than just law enforcement resources, but also supportive services who are non-law enforcement, working with, again, Office of Community Wellness and Safety, working with our faith base, working with community members to be liaisons to help temper down some of the challenges of, difference of perspectives. And we've been doing that before in regards to these particular type of situations and the hope to continue to have that good, robust engagement, but also understanding that we can still be in the same space with different opinions and be able to operate within that area. But we do have, you know, ways or techniques, and we do understand that sometimes you might have to, you know, separate groups, and hopefully there is that level of cooperation to ensure that as we are trying to respect all voices, that people respect that there should not be any, again, property destruction or physical violence that has to come into play.
To follow up on that, you mentioned that it's kind of typical for large event training, right? Like, some of this is no different than that. But is there anything special specific for this event, or can you just speak to some of the special training that the MPD has received in regards to an event of this magnitude?
So the training that's, you know, be utilized in this particular type of setting is no different than any other setting. I know that there is a lot of concern circling around RNC, but I want to remind your listeners and just our public in regards to that this is not new for us of dealing with large crowds, dealing with situations that have a number of different challenges in it. Can't talk specifically about in regards to what is actually the particular type of techniques and tactics, but I will say this, it's with lawful measures, it is professional, and expected to have, again, a continuum in regards to that. We don't just go from 0 to 100. It's based off behaviors, it's based off actions, and that we will have an appropriate response for those particular actions. We want a safe and respectful environment. We want to understand that we want to give everyone the ability to share their voice, but in a way that's not going to bring harm or, again, destruction to our wonderful city. And so it is important that, yes, we want to have resources and use of techniques to ensure that we have the ability to share your own voice and to speak up in regards to your feelings about the RNC, whether you're for or against it. But we just want everyone to be respectful, so to speak, stay in your lane and, you know, don't destroy anything and don't hurt anybody.
Can you speak to any of the way that the city, the county, the way that they're using funds, the way that the MPD is using some of these funds for the special event? What has been requested from the department?
So the big thing that is coming out of this is that, one, this particular event is supported from the federal government. This is not funds coming from our city, to my understanding. Again, I'm not in the details of all the funding sources, but to my understanding, what we are utilizing for a public safety is coming from the public safety grant from Congress, which is, it is for the RNC and DNC, supposedly equal amounts. We did get more funding in regards to that. There is significant cost for resources. The big thing that we want to understand, for over 20 years, the same amount or the budget for the RNC and DNC has been the same. Now, always challenging individuals who want to talk about this conversation is that bottle of milk the same cost 20 years later? Inflation, there is an increase in regards to these particular type of costs. And the biggest share of cost for us is personnel. It reflects the same cost as, you know, affected by any law enforcement agency, especially major city law enforcement agencies, where our personnel cost is the lion's share of what we're spending our money on. And so because we do need the additional help, the lion's share of our cost for the Milwaukee Police Department is for personnel. It's for fringe benefits, it's for travel costs, it's for, you know, lodging, food. And so that is where we really have the need to be able to get the additional support because of the large nature of what that cost looks like.
Well, thank you again for the time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Jeff Norman is the Chief of Police for the Milwaukee Police Department. He spoke with WUWM's Eddie Morales. Wisconsin is an open carry state, and guns are allowed inside the soft perimeter of the RNC. Yesterday, Governor Tony Evers requested that be reconsidered. Mayor Cavalier Johnson pointed out that because of state law, they aren't able to put any additional restrictions in place. To learn about what is and isn't allowed when it comes to firearms, Eddie spoke to local lawyer Tony Cotton.
Can you explain what are Wisconsin's weapons laws?
Wisconsin, of course, is a CCW state. That's a big thing. That means that people can apply for a concealed carry permit. Once they get that permit, they can possess a weapon in a concealed way. So if you have a CCW permit, you can, considering firearms, for example, you can conceal your gun and carry it wherever you want, subject to, of course, restrictions that certain businesses may have on whether or not they permit firearms in their facility. Wisconsin's also an open carry state. So you could choose not to be a CCW holder and just have your assault rifle slung over the front of your chest and walk down the road.
How do those laws apply to people from out of state?
There's not an in-state, out-of-state distinction. Well, the CCW thing, obviously, you'd have to, if you're an out-of-state resident, apply for a CCW permit. But the open carry laws apply equally to every citizen who's not a prohibited person from possessing firearms. There's a whole category of people who can't possess firearms because they have a felony conviction or they have a domestic violence crime involving violence. Those people can't possess guns, and there's all sorts of other prohibited categories. But out-of-state people, if they are not a felon and not prohibited, they can carry a gun in the open or they can get a CCW permit and conceal their gun.
There will be a hard perimeter that the Secret Service will oversee where weapons won't be allowed. But outside of that security zone, will there be any restrictions on open or concealed carrying?
There are not, and there can't be restrictions in general on open carry. It's clear that you have the right to possess firearms if you're not a prohibited person. But again, can there be narrow exceptions such as government buildings having some restrictions on that and private businesses? Yes. But outside of that hard perimeter zone, you could very well see people choosing to open carry or possess guns in the open. And one thing that just comes to mind in my mind is when we had some of the BLM protests, for example, that were happening. So this is the left side of the spectrum, arguably. I was involved in a lot in some of these groups and helping provide legal advice. There were numerous people just walking down the road with assault rifles slung right over the front of their chest. And the police can't and won't do a thing about it.
In your experience, what are some concerns that people have, just questions that they ask, or after already experiencing some of these situations and encountering them, what are some of the concerns that they share?
Well, I'm a criminal defense attorney, so usually when people are reaching out to me, they have a concern about their own situation. So it's very personal and very unique. I get a lot of phone calls these days from people who have not felony convictions, but old domestic violence convictions, you know, maybe disorderly conduct or battery, something that happened 25 years ago with a roommate or 15 years ago with an ex-girlfriend. And I get calls every day, multiple calls a week and virtually every day from people who want to know, can they possess a firearm? The other things I hear from people, obviously I'm just a member of the community, I hear about people who are express concern about some of the relaxed firearm laws in Wisconsin. But that's for the policymakers to work on, and obviously not my role as a defense attorney.
Some city officials have supported temporary weapon regulations during the RNC, but the Common Council ultimately voted against implementing that. Can you explain how a temporary gun ban conflicts with state law?
Yeah, well, I think it just conflicts with the Constitution is the problem. You have a right to keep and bear arms, and of course, the federal Constitution, the Second Amendment, has clearly been interpreted by this current Supreme Court and past iterations of the Supreme Court as absolutely conferring and providing a individual right to possess and bear firearms. And so any ordinance that would be passed to temporarily restrict that right would be struck down immediately in court.
Well, thank you again so much. I really appreciate the time.
All right, nice seeing you, Eddie.
Tony Cotton is an attorney in Waukesha. He spoke with WUWM's Eddie Morales. Now, the official name of this event is the Make America Great Once Again Convention. And the Trump campaign, along with the Republican National Committee, have given themes to each day. Today, it's Make America Wealthy Once Again. There have been no major changes to the scheduled events following the shooting of candidate Trump on Saturday. We do know that the former president is here in town. There are events happening throughout downtown, from Mater's to the Pfister to a watch party inside Drink Wisconsibly Pub and a convention fest in the Deer District. Today's official session inside Pfizer Forum starts at 12:45 this afternoon, with another this evening. Coming up, we'll take a look at how this massive event is being paid for. That's next on Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. This is Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. We're bringing you today's show from the Panther Arena on the first day of the Republican National Convention. I'm Joy Powers. WUWM is tailoring our RNC coverage to you. We asked you to share what's important and what you want to know about the convention. And many of you have asked about the expected cost of the event to city taxpayers. For answers, WUWM's Chuck Wormbach is joined by Nick Desiato. He's chief of staff to Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson and co-chair of the city's RNC team. He tells Chuck your federal tax dollars are footing the bill.
When we had started this process, we were under the constraints of what has been now going on for a couple decades, where the security grant was locked in at $50 million. And when that number was set, perhaps that was an appropriate number. When we were planning the 2020 DNC, we knew that it was going to be extremely tight to make the event, as long as it had been going planned pre-COVID, to do under $50 million. But it became abundantly clear that in a post-COVID world, increased costs, delays from supply chain, and just a more expensive world and different security risks that cost more money, insurance costs more, that it would be extremely difficult, if not entirely impossible, to operate a national convention at the $50 million security grant amount, which is why, in partnership with many, many different entities from both sides of the aisle, and led by Mayor Johnson, we were able to move forward with a congressional change to increase the allotment from $50 million to $75 million, which is a huge benefit. It's a huge benefit for us, the benefit for our counterparts in Chicago with the DNC. It's a benefit for all future municipalities hosting national conventions. With that being said, when we came up with our budget, and it was a long process to develop that budget shaped around security needs, we were always committed to operating within that $75 million security budget. The last big charge to as part of our budgeting process is the insurance, which is a big lion's share of the overall cost in conjunction with law enforcement costs. And we're pleased that we are still currently within our budget. Everybody's been part of this team knows that this operation is intended to be fully covered with that security grant and not out of tax dollars.
Talk a little bit about police costs without divulging secure information, but is overtime, there's more police on hand, is that right?
Yeah, so when it comes to what your police needs are, you start with what does the city need to provide public safety resources for the city itself outside of the event. And then you take that number and you put it aside, and now you look at the balance of what you have remaining. From there, you look at what the overall security planning needs are, and that takes course over many, many months of planning. The fire department, our police department, and public works, our other city, state, county, and federal partners, and developing what a security plan looks like. And then the outreach begins. And that's looking at other law enforcement agencies around the state and around the country, and then working with them in developing memorandums of understanding so that we can contract with them to come here. And they become a variable cost. So it's the cost of each of those officers, and you have to add to that cost of shelter, feed them, fly them, or bus them here, depending on where they're coming from, and all the other costs attendant to having literally thousands of individuals working in a law enforcement capacity. So that really does take up a large portion of that security grant. And that plus our insurance costs get us to almost where the security grant was from before. And that doesn't account for any of the other equipment needs that we have in order to ensure that it's a safe and successful event.
This is still a financial question, although it veers into public safety. Has the city of Milwaukee been able to recruit and contract with enough public safety officers that the city is comfortable?
Yeah, we're confident that we have more than enough law enforcement partners from around the state and around the country, as well as our partnerships with our federal law enforcement agency partners.
Okay, so what about the Department of Public Works, sanitation, et cetera, to accommodate, what is it, tens of thousands of visitors?
Yeah, so there's a number of different city departments, whether it be Public Works, our Health Department, our building inspectors. They're all part of our planning process. So in a way, it's part of business as usual because that's what they do. They do permits. They assist with road closures. They assist with building inspections. And of course, it's not business as usual because the scale here is historic for the city of Milwaukee. But these partnerships, along with the state and federal partners, are part of over two dozen federal subcommittees that have been planning for many, many months, as well as countless city committees that we've internally created to make sure that we addressed all of the really complicated and complex elements of hosting a national convention. And it's been as expected, perhaps, but it's really something that we're proud of, is how our different city departments have coalesced in a very complicated planning and coordination.
So let's talk about the revenue side. How much additional sales tax revenue or fees or other things are you factoring into the equation?
Well, Chuck, as you know, having the sales tax enacted was a game changer. We're the largest city in America without a local sales tax. That was within 2 years of Mayor Johnson becoming the mayor, was able to steward a historic change for revenue source for a city, and it was no secret, was in desperate need of that revenue that other cities from around the country had been afforded. And in terms of the benefits of that as applies to a national convention, we'll see. We're, of course, optimistic. We hope that area businesses and organizations leave here and say, not only was that a great event for us, but we want more. And we're hopeful that when the numbers come in, that they're above projections.
There's been at least one article that suggests some of the local businesses aren't seeing an uptick like they hoped they would. What are you seeing anecdotally?
So it's a hybrid. There's been a number of businesses that have been booked through the Milwaukee Host Committee, a nonpartisan 501c3, through their vendor portal that have business locked up from around the city. And I think there's going to be a lot of businesses that get foot traffic during the day. We're expecting over 50,000 additional people in and around the city. And those people are going to have breakfast somewhere. They're going to have lunch somewhere. They're going to have social events somewhere. So we anticipate even the businesses that haven't been booked beforehand, that we're going to get a lot of business just by the nature of so many people in and around the city.
So let's go back to the original question. You are saying that due to a federal grant, which federal taxpayers pay into, the city of Milwaukee will not dip into its funds to supplement this.
All of our operations have been confined around the security grant. So that's something that we spent a lot of time and energy on for purchases of that. And understanding there's, of course, going to be ancillary time that's being spent by city employees, but that's also part of our job. It's part of being a head of a public works or your building code team, our Department of Neighborhood Service or our health department, that you are going to be participating in large events. And that happens on much smaller scales, but happens throughout the year and every year as well. So, of course, there's going to be city employee time committed towards this. But that was always baked into the equation of hosting such an event.
Okay, so a final message for taxpayers in the city of Milwaukee?
You know, this is an amazing opportunity to showcase, and this is coming from somebody who's not a local, from somebody who came from out east in Philadelphia. This is the greatest city in the world. And for an opportunity for us to showcase this, the opportunity for not just economic benefit for the week, but for future weeks, for future events, is an opportunity that we should be really proud of. We can showcase ourselves for future events, and look back at this and say, wow, what an amazing opportunity in all of our lives here. We're really excited for this event, and we know there's more to come.
Acknowledging there are residents of the city of Milwaukee that are not going to vote for any Republican.
Yeah, we're a blue city hosting a red event. But it also goes to show that we are here and we are open for business. And that includes hosting what will be the largest and most significant event in the world for that week.
Nick Desiato is Chief of Staff to Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson and co-chair of the city's RNC team. He spoke with WUWM's Chuck Kornbach. And that's today's Lake Effect here from the Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee. Thank you so much for being here with us. I'm Joy Powers. If you missed any of today's conversations, or if you'd like to take Lake Effect on the go, you can download our podcast. Search for Lake Effect wherever you get your podcasts to listen to all of our shows on demand. Tomorrow on Lake Effect, we'll be back here at Panther with a look at how today's march on the RNC protest shakes out. We'll also learn about a big event happening away from the RNC in Milwaukee this week. And we'll speak with the founder of a nonprofit called Next Generation of Conservation, which is sponsoring the RNC. That is all tomorrow at noon, right here on Lake Effect. Stay tuned to Lake Effect and WUWM all week long for coverage of the Republican National Convention on listener-supported 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.